Years ago, I wrote a homily about being what I called one shy. It was my birthday, but not a big round birthday. It was the one before the big round birthday, hence one shy. I remember my daughter saying, well, at least you're not, We thought it was so big then, we didn't even say the number. And that was a while ago. Silly us. So one shy of the big one. As I was thinking about it then, I remember being aware of expressions like one egg shy of a dozen, or one card shy of a full deck. One shoe shy of a pair, a friend of mine said. We know what she liked. Or one light bulb shy of a chandelier. Anything come to mind for you? They're all sort of if-only statements. You know, if only I had this, I'd be complete. How about one apology shy of authentic? One war shy of world peace? They all turn, of course, on the concept of unfinished, incomplete, not quite there, almost, but not quite. And the question becomes one of how we live in that space, that liminal space, that one shy, almost time, without feeling, and sometimes feeling fairly desperately, that we want to be or should be or could be somewhere else, somewhere better, somewhere more complete. I wonder a little about your one shies, your almost places. Are you looking for a new job or something new to engage with? Are you waiting for something to be complete in your life or for something to begin? A new project, a new relationship? Some repairs, some new phase. I wonder because the more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that every day is almost time, right? Every day, after all, is a path to something else. Our dilemma is not knowing what that something else is. There's this funny tension I think we set up for ourselves in this culture around planning. Not just organizing our lives, but about planning for the future. And we start paying attention to it very early, almost from day one, it seems. We watch children for all their firsts, their first step, their first word, their first tooth, their first time in the sanctuary. And before we know it, it's time for preschool and then off a long trajectory of education, planning life forward. Learn everything you need to get into college, perhaps. Maybe get a good job. Then you work and you save so you can retire and enjoy. And it feels that the experience of satisfaction, of having actually arrived at something, is often just beyond our grasp. We may feel it momentarily, but then it slips away and we're back to reaching. What is that saying about life? That it's what happens when you're busy making plans? And even for those of us whose lives are somewhat settled in a good balance just now, the world at large is so challenged that it inclines us to chase the what-ifs, the almost time. And here's the rub. It's almost the solstice, right? On December 22nd, next Saturday, there will be light for more time than there will have been on Friday the 21st. If I'm only holding on to looking forward to the 22nd, because it marks a turning I'm looking forward to, what might that say about how I've engaged with the hours on the light, the hours of light that I had today, or even on the 21st? So we've been talking about the Advent season, this time leading up to Christmas, this time of anticipation and of getting ready. This season is almost time, these 4 weeks. The difference between the Advent season from regular life is that, like the solstice, it has an end point. Christmas, in just over a week, will come, and then we won't be waiting anymore, except for everything else in our lives. Just that. But one gift, I think, is the time to have become aware, a gift of this Advent season. This pause has given us a time to think about the things that we're really waiting for. Whatever particulars might come to mind for you, like better health, or better financial stability, or a better political landscape, whatever it is, no doubt we are all waiting for or looking for a way to find more faith, more hope, more joy, more love, those things of the Spirit that buoy us on our journeys. This season illuminates, literally illuminates, our longing for those four things and our wish that they were just around the corner. I wonder if you can feel them. More faith in our lives having meaning. More hope for a world where all lives, human and non-human alike, are valued. More joy in the moments we share on this earth. More love everywhere, because remember the poem by Worsenshire that ends, "I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, 'Where does it hurt?' It answered, 'Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere.'" I was thinking the other day how curious it is to put so much longing into the birth of a child, who then, according to the story, has to wait 33 years to begin his ministry. And we think, wait, I thought he was born and then we had peace on earth. And it's not here yet. Remember in our story this morning how all the animals noticed the sun had gone missing and figured out what they could do to bring it back, what they could do together? Let's go back to that pause time for a moment. Have any of you ever walked a labyrinth? Anyone? A few. More than a few, maybe. Good. Originally, I learned they were more like mazes with multiple choices of direction and destination. You could get lost in them. In fact, that was the point. A little like life sometimes. These days, labyrinths are the large circles of paths that meander back and forth in what's called a unicursal direction, progressively leading you to the center and then back out again. The whole idea is moving and not having to worry about where it ends, so you can focus on the experience. It is a journey of inward meandering. Augustine gave us those words, salvitore ambulando. It's a pause from the almost time, the incomplete. And it can be amazing to see where one's mind goes when one doesn't have to be concerned with the end point, with the destination. Even as you're still moving, you know it's there. It's already taken care of. So you just follow the path and see what you discover. Imagine trusting that in the rest of our lives. The woman in our story discovered the company she had been oblivious to, that her journey, as arduous as it had been, was not alone. It made her weep. The interesting thing is that most of us don't have that freedom of discovery in our everyday lives because we don't know the end point. Our lives are incomplete, unfinished, not quite done, and isn't that good news? That we are still on almost time? that we are still one shy? In the book from this morning's reading, Barbara Brown Taylor suggests, people seem willing to look all over the place for this treasure of spirituality. The last place most people look is right under their feet, in the everyday activities, accidents, and encounters of their lives. The reason so many of us cannot see the red X that marks the spot is because we are standing on it. There is more faith, there is more hope, more joy, and more love right here, right where we are together. We have felt it this morning. And there are things we can do in this almost time to make them manifest for ourselves, for each other, for the world around us. And isn't that our task? Life is always one shy, always almost. Our efforts at a perfect life remind me of the monks or the artists who practice drawing circles over and over. Have you seen them? They're these beautiful circles. They get close, but I think the point is that they are almost, but not quite, perfect. It's not our job to get to perfect or to complete. It's not always our luxury to even get close, in whatever way that may show up for you. Our job is only to practice what it means to get closer, as we are able to practice more faith, to practice more hope, to practice more joy, more love. The circle comes round again and again. It is our task to engage with it and to trust that each new day presents a new opportunity. When I know that my sun will shine just as sure as this world can spin, I can hold on fine, because it's almost time for that sun to come round again. May we each find it in our journeys.